So let me just give you a little bit of background to this event this evening. I became very, very aware that, when I say became very, very aware, I felt the Lord really just prod me. Do you ever get that? And just prod you on something. And this is what the Lord prodded me on. It was basically a gentle encouragement slash challenge that I did lots of stuff equipping people how to share their faith, like what we've been doing these past few days. But I really felt the Lord prod me that I wasn't doing anything to encourage people in terms of praying about their own faith sharing and their friends that they share their faith with. And that was probably largely reflective of I'm a little bit of a doer. I'm a little bit of an activist. And if there's a weakness in my life, well, there's lots of weaknesses in my life, but we haven't got time to go into those, and it's not the place because it's messy. But one of the many weaknesses in my life would be that I don't pray as much as I really want to. I tend to just crack on with stuff. Anybody else a little bit like that? You tend to find that evangelists tend to be a little bit more like that. They just want to crack on, and you know, and it's good in some ways, but not good in other ways. And so I just felt the Lord prompting me to say, you know, not only is it true in your own life, so I kind of ramped up my own prayer life a little bit, but also began to just put together this event and using some of the principles that I go through. It's rare for me now in one sense, because most of the events you'll appreciate I'm speaking at, but certainly when I've done events in my own church, I still go through this process, although it is a little bit weird saying to your mates, hey, do you want to come and hear me speak? It sounds a little bit arrogant, you know. But all that said, this is where this event has come from tonight. So let me tell you about Dougie. Would you like to know about Dougie? Yeah. Good, because if you said no, it's ruined the next 5 minutes, all right? So let me tell you about Dougie. Dougie was a postie, Dougie was, in Yeovil. And quite a chirpy chap. And Dougie connected with Howard like every day pretty well. And Dougie and Howard, they'd see each other almost every day. And and because Dougie was Howard's poster, you see. And but what you tended to find is it'd be very much a quick kind of, oh, hello, hi. And that was it. And sometimes on Sundays he didn't see him at all because he was out when Dougie rocked up, when the post was late, which never happens where you live, does it? Okay. But then Howard just felt a little bit challenged because Howard never really talked to Dougie that much. So Howard thought, I really ought to just, you know, maybe spend a bit more time. He's delivering my letters. So he just took a little bit of time to talk to Dougie. Hey, how are you, Dougie? They got to know each other's names, and Dougie eventually started coming in for a cup of tea. I don't know whether he was meant to come in for a cup of tea on his rounds, but he would go in for his cup of tea. And they just began to get really, really good friends to the point where they found out their kids went to the same primary school. So then they started to do like, oh, can you pick up mine? Do you want me to pick up yours? You know, that kind of stuff that happens. And so they got involved in each other's lives. And Dougie found out, because Howard's quite kind of confident about sharing his faith, so he began to tell him about that he was a Christian. Okay, so this is Dougie, and this is Howard in Yeovil, okay? So hold that thought. Howard approached me, he said, oh, Mark, would you come and do one of your mission, well, it was a week that we did, actually, and I call my missions making a meal of it. And so basically what we do is we eat food and I speak, which I think is a good combination personally. It not necessarily for anybody else, but I quite enjoy it. So Howard said, oh, let's do a men's curry night. Well, that's never going to be a negative in my book because curries are my favourite and I do lots of curry events. And in fact, I've just done one within last week in Derby. There you go. So we did a men's curry night and Howard says to Dougie, oh, do you want to come to our church curry night? We've got this guy coming down. He'll tell a few funny stories about curry. He said, and he'll just talk a little bit about his faith. Well, Dougie thought, well, why not? Because, you know, they've become quite good friends. Howard had decided I need to get to know Dougie a little bit more. He wasn't just happy to leave it be in posting my letters, thank you very much, and the occasional chit-chat. So they really started to build quite a good relationship, quite a good friendship. Dougie came along to the curry night. We have a lovely curry, for what it matters. And at the end, I do my curry comedy and Christianity evening, which for those of you who don't know what they are, let me explain. They're an evening that involves curry, comedy, and some Christianity. Has that brought clarity? I see there's some depth to that explanation that you didn't expect. So now this event, normally this event is a kind of like a first base event. It's what I call a healthy maybe. You remember we've explained about those types of events. And I encourage churches to have the three different levels of events. So the healthy maybe, which is where people come along, and there sometimes can be a bit of faith stuff in it. There doesn't have to be, but it's an event where people come along and go, they're all right, those Christians. They don't have two heads after all. And then a little yes event is where we create an event for people to intentionally look in, make an intentional decision to find out more. It's your Alpha, it's your, which one are you doing? Just looking? Just looking, it's your Christianity Explored. It's that level of event where people can have a dig around, have an investigate, and be given an opportunity to make some kind of response at the end. And then we have the big yes events, which is your classic gospel preach guest service, like what's happening, for example, in January when I come, and like maybe one or two other events that you have. So this was a healthy maybe event in my book, but Howard said, oh no, I think give the gospel. So I went, okay, well, I can cope with that, it's not a problem. So we did this gospel, and Dougie puts his hand up and becomes a Christian over a chicken Balti. I mean, it's not a bad night, is it? It's not a bad night. So I offer one of my booklets. Dougie gets this booklet. Inside, on his way home, he's thinking, how the heck am I going to tell the wife? You know, he thinks, I can't tell her. She'll go crazy that I've become all God and religious. That's what he was thinking. These are his words. He's having a mild panic about the situation. So he keeps it a little bit quiet. And then he finds out that on the, now I think it's on the Sunday evening, it doesn't matter, it's on one of the evenings towards the end of the week, we've got this event called Life is a Cabaret, where I pull in loads of my mates who are just phenomenal singers, and we do a cabaret evening, and the gospel's all weaved through it. We've got singers and magicians and all sorts of stuff, and then the gospel's presented through it, and then kind of drawn all together at the end. So Dougie thinks, maybe I could invite my wife to this event. But he doesn't do it the most transparent of ways. He says, love, I've got us tickets for a cabaret on Sunday evening, say, for example. His wife said, oh, that would be nice. What sort of cabaret? Dougie's thinking, oh, heck. He says, a cabaret. She said, where is it? He said, in a building. Whereabouts in town? What type of building? A building that's got a cabaret in it. He was actually really worried about that. Anyway, she turns up to the cabaret, and it's the gospel thing, which, you know, maybe isn't the best approach. You know, we should be a little bit more transparent, but he'd just become a Christian and didn't kind of know the rules of engagement, really, and also was still scared of his wife, which is understandable. Okay, so the cabaret was on the Saturday night, okay? His wife comes along to the cabaret. She becomes a Christian on the Saturday night, but unaware that Dougie's become a Christian on the Wednesday night. She's thinking to herself, how am I going to tell Dougie about this? I mean, it's just fantastic. So you've got them both stressing out how they're going to tell the other about the same decision they've both made. It's absolutely fantastic. Anyway, basically, they wake up on the Sunday morning, and almost at the same time, they both say, I've got something to tell you. They almost invite each other to church. It was just absolutely brilliant, absolutely superb. So you've got like God at work there, haven't you, doing his thing. You've got the intentional decision and activity of Howard to begin to build some bridges and relationships with somebody that's not even necessarily one of his friends, but just in the everydayness of his life, he's just trying to increase the level of relationship and level of friendship. I think it was last week I mentioned about me making an intentional decision to reach my street with the gospel and how it's at different levels with different people and the relationship and conversations in different places and at different stages. But you've got to become, haven't you, intentional about building relationships with people. And one of the reasons we find it so hard to invite people to events is because we haven't been intentional about building relationship and just doing, we call it doing life these days, don't we? That's become the trendy way of saying it. But in other words, just living with people and creating space. And it's almost a bit bizarre that it's become such a big task to invite our friends along to events. Like, I don't get stressed out when I'm inviting Kirk for a coffee. I mean, I don't get stressed out when I'm into to events either, because it's just part of what we do. Does that make sense? But here's the beautiful thing, all right? Here's the beautiful thing. Part of the reason why Dougie's wife became a Christian on the cabaret night is because as I was doing my response at the end, and I invite people to respond to God who's appealing to them, 2 Corinthians 5, God's appealing to them through me as I speak. And so I was just saying, all God requires is for you just to give your life to him, one heartfelt yes, and you start that next phase of the journey of discovery. And God's calling you. And apparently, as I said that, I looked at Dougie's wife and said, God's calling you and saying, come on, come on, give your life to him. And behind me, there's some spotlights with a purple wash. I look best with a purple wash, you know. And there's this purple wash behind me. Are you ready for this? I've been asking the Lord to do this a little bit more. The night before, so this was the Saturday, on the Friday night, she'd never met me before. She had a dream. And I was in that dream. Now, some of you are thinking, that's more of a nightmare than a dream. I know exactly where you were going with it. And behind me, there was these purple lights. It's just incredible. So, like, the Lord had given her a dream about this sight. I mean, she'd not seen me before, met me before. You know, and she said, it was you, Mark. It was you saying, come on. Oh, God's literally saying the same words. And then she sees it on the Saturday night in the cabaret. Isn't that incredible? So what that encourages me about that, God is at work. But all this came from because Howard decided just to get to know his postie a little bit better. And I went down to the church to prepare the church. Whenever I do a long season of mission with a church, I go down and do lots of preparation. We'll run the boot camp. We'll run this event. And when we ran this event that we're going to be looking through tonight, this is what inspired Howard to get to know his postie. Because he was a minister. He was the minister at the Ealing Church. He didn't have lots and lots and lots of non-Christian friends because he spent a lot of his time in church life. So he knew that he needed to get out a little bit more, and at least where he was in his everyday life, just to start to build relationship. You know the therefore go ye into all the world and make disciples, Great Commission. Actually, a truer translation is so wherever you go, which I quite like, because it's just like wherever you go, begin to make disciples of all nations. And so, with that in mind, I want to take us through this evening how we can begin to pray for our friends who aren't Christians, how we can begin to prayerfully invite them along and just set a few helpful things for us or a few reminders. And then that will probably take us a little bit of the way into the second half. And then just at the end of the second half of this evening, because we're going to have the usual format, we won't want to change any tradition, we'll have a cup of tea at about 15:15, and then when we come back, we'll finish off some of the stuff about praying for our friends and inviting our friends, and then we're just going to take it into maybe around 15 minutes at the end, where we're just going to spend some time thinking and praying, just to ourselves, not out loud, unless of course you want to, that's not a problem, but just spending some time gathering all of this stuff. And I've got some pointers to lead us through with that. So we're going to look at how we can prayerfully invite our friends. Love this verse. It's one of my defining verses when thinking about sharing my faith and about my own personal evangelism. I've got to be really disciplined because there's so much in this passage that even in the past couple of days, actually, I've just noticed a couple of things. It's mad, isn't it? You know, when you read a passage and you can read it so many times and then the Holy Spirit just seems to highlight something and then it gets a hold of you and you begin to live it and begin to breathe it and then something else comes along. It's beautiful. The Word of God is beautiful. It really is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I love it, living and active. Anyway, I've got to be careful, got to be disciplined. I might get a little bit giddy and excited. Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. So this is the lady at the well in John chapter 4. She's come out to get water late in the afternoon because she's not allowed to get it when all the other people get it. So Jesus comes along, tired as he is from the journey. He sits down. The disciples have gone to get some food. He's hungry. He's had a walk. He's tired. He's thirsty. He's hungry. Now, when I have that combination, you can add another word to it, ratty. Anybody else? When you're tired and when you're hungry and when you need a brew, you're a bit ratty, aren't you? You're kind of at the end of your resources, aren't you? And yet, Jesus is tired, hungry and thirsty. He's at the end of his resources. He sits down in the heat of the afternoon. And there's a lady there. And he asks her for help. That's the first thing. He asks her for help. I think we've got a lot to learn that when it comes to engaging with people, and the very word missional means that often we think we've got stuff that we need to help you with. Actually, real mission and real relationship takes place when I feel I can ask people to help me, my friends who aren't Christians, when I feel in that place where they can help me. And so it's not about doing more sometimes, it's actually about doing less. It's about creating space, urging discipline at this point, because I can go off and have a little bit of a ramble around that. I want to take you a little bit further on in the story. So, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, I've analysed that passage. He didn't. If you actually look at it, basically what he did, he talked to her about the relationship she's had, and then they talked a little bit about worship through the passage. But really, I'm looking at this thinking, how so? And I think probably what it is that Jesus seemed to be able to sum her life up in such a way that it was almost as if she was laid bare before him. I don't know, but she goes on and says, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And it's interesting because it talks about in some passages about is this the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? So then you fast forward a little bit and it says many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. But look at this. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Now I notice a number of things on this. First of all, they're saying, now we believe this man really is the Savior of the world. She only asked the question whether this could be the Messiah, which was predominantly sent to the Jews. But they're saying, no, we've looked into this now, and now we believe it's not just the Messiah for the Jews, this is the Savior of the world, which is just beautiful, isn't it? How that kind of came about and that happened. But look at what they said. We have heard for ourselves. So when we're praying and wanting to invite our friends along to events, okay, it's not necessarily about come and meet the church. It's about come and meet Jesus. Come, in the hope and prayer that they'll see for themselves what we've seen, because it's only when they see for themselves that they can believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I think events can play a really helpful part in that kind of process. So with that in mind, I want us to begin to think about who are the people that you would love, who are in your life, that you would love for them to see for themselves what you know to be true. Who are the people? And so to that end, to help us think about that, I'm going to give you, are you ready for this? I have got 1, 2, 3/4 free resources. How impressive is that? So what I'm going to encourage you to do is if you could take one of these and pass it on. And then if you could do the same, would you give one to the gentleman there? That's your first. And then if you could take also one of these and pass it on. There you go, sir. You could take one and pass it on. That'd be lovely. So that's your second free resource. Could you then also take, this is where I'm stretching it, 2 post-it notes. That's why I said 3/4. You can decide whether the 2 post-it notes are a collective and therefore only one. Okay, so this evening's a little bit more kind of like, well, it looks like I'm being lazy. You're going to do a bit of stuff and I'm going to chat a little bit. What I'd like you to do is open up the first resource that I give you that says praying for your friends. And what I'd like you to do, don't do anything just yet. I'm going to explain what I'd like you to do. This first resource is basically just about beginning to get us to pray for our friends and our family who aren't Christians, who don't know the Lord. The people that you would love to see come to faith. And again, you can broaden that, because it might well be that you say, Mark, I haven't really got many friends, but acquaintances. Even people that we can begin, like Dougie. Yeah, or a similar person to Dougie. Maybe the person that you might have seen on your way to the bus stop for the last 10 years. And I know it's early, but all you've ever done is gone, boring. All right, so think about those sorts of people. Okay, so that's who you're going to pray for. Now think about some people, 2 people, who you'd like to pray with. Are there people in your church who you'd, I hope there are, who you'd like to pray with and for their friends that aren't Christians? Does that make sense? So why the post-it note? Okay. If you're like me, you would fill all those spaces in straight away and then regret it later. Because I'm a little bit impetuous. Okay? If you're not like me, you're the sort of person that doesn't really want to fill those boxes in because you might want to change your mind later. So you don't want to risk anything. So what I have done is I have created a bit of ingenious creative play. You have 2 post-it notes so that we can all do it now. Okay? Does that make sense? So put 1 post-it note on the left-hand side. Now watch this. This is creativity at its optimum. When you see this, you'll never be happy with PowerPoint slides again. So take your 1 post-it note. Look at that. Who is now totally overwhelmed? Yeah. Who's really not bothered? Yeah, a lot of underwhelmed. So take one of your post-it notes, pray over there. And just begin to think, who are the people that you like praying with? Or maybe you might think, actually, do you know what? There's somebody in the church. This is a great way for me to start to pray with them. Start to maybe get to know them. So who would you like to pray with? And then put your other post-it note on the other side and begin to think about the names of the people that you would love to pray for. I'm going to give you 4 minutes and 57 seconds to do that. Now, I know that's very detailed, but that's the length of the song. So I'm going to play a song quietly in the background and maybe just begin to reflect over, maybe just begin to think over who are the people I'd love to pray with and then who are my friends that I'd love to pray for. Good. So does anybody look at that and think, I need to get out a lot more? Sometimes it's quite revealing, isn't it? When you think about actually, and this is just thinking about people that we'd love to see come to faith, let alone invite to anything. So sometimes it highlights, doesn't it, that we've got to get a little bit more busy about getting out there and being out there amongst people. But I want to say something that I've said a few times, and sometimes when I say this, I think, oh, I'm being really patronising, but I'm not trying to be. It's just a reminder, because what we don't want to do is just suddenly start building relationships just so we can invite people. We want to avoid that, and yet we don't, because the most important thing in the world is that they get to know Jesus. But we've got to have our motives right, haven't we? And sometimes I have known quite a lot of Christian friends of mine, and I've told them off because it's like they've given up on their friends because they don't come to a church event. And it's rubbish, isn't it? It's absolutely rubbish. So we don't want to dump people. But it does highlight the need for us to be able to get out there and just begin to spend some good quality time with the people around us. So let's just begin to think about those people on this list. What are the next steps for us? What are the next things that we need to be able to do? Now, some of them, it might be, do you know what? It's about time I invited them to something, because you haven't done that. But for others, it might be, do you know what? I've just got to spend a little bit more quality time with them and just doing things together, because then it becomes really, really natural to share our faith with people. If you look on the back of that first resource, excuse me, you'll notice that I basically put a kind of an outline of a prayer. Now, you can either use this prayer or you can use your own prayer, but I've just put it up there and put it on there so you can begin to see the idea behind what we're trying to do. Because one of the problems with these things, you go away, you feel either inspired or challenged, and then we often go to like, right, I'm going to meet my friends every week now, or I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock every morning because we feel challenged and we feel like we should respond. But then if you're anything like me, that lasts for a couple of days. And then, especially when the winter kicks and you've got to put the heating on in the morning, you fall asleep mid-prayer time and end up praying for Mickey Mouse and Disney because you've just been dreaming, all right? So what I want to encourage you is to be realistic now. Who are the people that you can pray with? Those couple of those names that you put down, especially if they're here this evening. If they're not, then, you know, take some of these. In fact, the rest of this clump I'll leave here anyway for the church, because there'll be people that are not here that might want to. They'll have to get their own post-it notes. If they're not here, they're not having them, are they? Do you know what I mean? I'll give you a clump of those. And maybe if you're in home groups, you can begin to kind of maybe do it when you meet at that. But be realistic about it. Like, sometimes you might say, right, let's meet together once a month, and then maybe once a month, let's just agree that at 7 o'clock on a particular night, we'll spend 5 minutes, we won't put the telly on, we'll spend 5 minutes praying with those people on your list. There's other ways that you can begin to move forward in this. Don't be too restrictive, be quite creative, but I would encourage you to keep this up over a long period of time, therefore to do it in easy and manageable chunks rather than going bonkers and then in a month's time it's kind of slipped off. So who are the people that you'd love to pray for with? And basically what we're doing at this, so Lord, I pray for Graham and Annie. Pray for Graham and Anne and myself. Give us opportunities and confidence to invite our friends to events and to share our faith with them. Help us to be bold, sensitive and authentic. So that's the general idea. You're praying for yourselves. And that's a great thing to pray for. Pray for ourselves, that we might be bold. The Apostle Paul asks for that, didn't he? Very often, pray for me. And then the next bit is, I pray for, and this is the names of the people that you're praying for to come to faith, to come to know Jesus, that you will warm their hearts to finding out about you, lead them to say yes to you. And there's just a little scripture to encouraging us, to remind us that wherever there's even two or three gathered together, in my name, there I am in the midst. It was a great promise, isn't it, from the Lord, where two or three And there's quite a power of two or three agreeing something legally. It was a way of like making a legal thing where two or three agreed on something. So there's some quite a lot of power in that. So we want to be able to begin to pray for each other. So we've got a couple of minutes left for this section. In a second or two, we're going to go, well, not in a second or two, in about 10 minutes, we're going to go on to the next resource. So I'm not going to say anything about that right now, but what I do just want to say is the idea behind this first resource that I gave you is it's just something you're keeping bubbling along in the background. And that's why it's not like, let's do it for a season, then pack it in. Let's just bubble it along and start with these cards. But it might well be that you find a better way forward of doing it. You might end up with extra names, so this might end up, you might end up filling that in and then end up putting post-it notes, and you might end up getting a whole list of people that you can pray for. And so my encouragement when you're praying is that you just simply name the names before the Lord. We don't need to go all flowery, do we? And then just imagine the joy when one of the people that is praying with you for your friends, or you're praying with them for their friends, and they come along to an event and they want to sign up to Alpha and they want to find out more. Imagine the joy and the encouragement. And we begin to get those wonderful stories where we say, I invited this person. I was afraid, but I've been praying about it. And I invited this person. And they came along and they really enjoyed it. They want to find out more. Imagine the joy that takes place and the momentum that builds as we begin to get some good news stories to tell. Could it be that the Lord answers prayer? How amazing would that be? That he might actually answer our prayers. I wonder whether we might just allow ourselves a little bit of faith where there's been disappointment and discouraging in the past. Could we tonight just arrest this moment and say, Lord, we're going to allow ourselves a bit more faith in you as we begin to pray for my friends and my friends' friends and family and my family. And I begin to pray for my friend as they share their faith with their friends. And you can put the apostrophe wherever you want in that. So we're going to break now. It's 15:15. So again, usual thing. 10 minutes, pot of tea. And just whilst that's getting ready, last opportunity. Well, there are other ways of getting them. The whole of the boot camp, not tonight's session. The whole of the boot camp is on CD, MP3, remember. And then also, just to mention this resource. You remember, those of you who were here the first week, that I said, let's not get caught up in the evolution versus creation debate, because we just don't get anywhere with it. All that said, there are times when you find that you need to be resourced in that, even if just for your own encouragement. Okay, this is one of the most recent magazines to come out, called The Delusion of Evolution. It's got the latest scientific evidence that supports intelligent design. All as I'm saying is this has come from people that are academics, who are Christians, who are leading scientists in their field. It's not trying to persuade you what you need to believe or not believe. What I'm saying is, it's just good for us to be aware what's out there. And then when we meet people who even just think that science and Christianity don't stand together, you can say, actually, some of the leading scientists in the world are Bible-believing Christians. So I think that's the least... some of the stuff is just a little bit harsh that's come from across the pond, shall we say. Whereas this is just slightly softer edges, and it's produced by British people in a British context. So I didn't write it. I just think it's kind of pretty decent. So that's, it's not on the prices, but it's £3. If you want one of those, come and buy one. Shall we return? As we used to say in the old days, shall we reconvene? Do you remember that phrase? No? Good. That was just me then. We used to have a meeting convener. Don't know if you ever had that on the Methodist circuit. It used to be really funny, because it's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about tonight, but I'm just having a little reminisce. But it used to be really funny, because in Elam churches, you'd get like somebody who'd lead a bit of singing at 20 past six before the meeting started. And then they'd get kicked off the stage and relegated, and the proper worship band would rock up. It was most hilarious, really. It's like, when you get better, we'll trust you in the proper bit of the service. But it used to be so funny. Okay, so, first bit, we just begin to look at how we can pray for our friends. And so, as I mentioned, let me just encourage you to crack on with that, keep that happening, find a realistic way of working that. It might, do you have home groups, connect groups, life groups, etc.? So it might be something that you could introduce into that. That would be, even if some of the people who pray with each other in different groups, that wouldn't matter, but you could maybe think about it around the context of home groups, and maybe just within those, what do they meet weekly, by every 2 weeks, every week? So you could say once a month, maybe say, right, for once a month, we'll have 10 minutes at the beginning of one or at the end of one. Let's just begin to pray for our friends. So just try and think of different ways. One really lovely way that I heard it used, not in terms of its entirety, but it was actually my home church. I used to attend St. John's in Kenilworth, and the vicar one Sunday morning, just whilst we were having communion, and before people came up and he called people forward, he said, now let's just think about those friends that are on the, because I've done this event with the church, let's just think about those friends. Think about who are the friends you'd love to see kneeling at the communion rail with you. And I just thought that was a really beautiful way of just thinking in a slightly different way about how we can keep praying for our friends. So yeah, let's keep that happening. That's bubbling away in the background. And then the next little resource that I gave you is something that you can employ as we begin to think about specific events. So if we think about the season here with the church, I know there's lots of words on this slide, but I'm literally just producing up there what you've got there. So if you take your card, because the printers were lazy and they didn't pre-fold them, okay? So if you look at them and you've got, on your left-hand side, you've got pray for the right opportunity. And then on the right side, you've got now the invitation. Can you see that facing you? So now just fold it over that way. Okay? That makes sense? So if you look, that's the two, and then just fold it that way. So then the first panel you should have is ask God who to invite. Okay? It's a bit of an idiot's guide, but people have often folded it the wrong way and it's all kicked off and gone messy. Okay, and people have been vulnerable, they've stormed out of the building. Actually, no, I might have maybe over-brushed that one. This resource now is what you would start to use on the build-up to a bunch of events. And the idea is, maybe you might just not do the first resource during the time that you're doing this, just because you get stale, don't you? I mean, let's be really honest. Please tell me it's not just me that gets a bit stale. It's just me. And I thought it wasn't. So maybe you might say, yeah, we've got this bunch of events going to come. Going to think more specifically about those events. Of course, you're using it in, you know, partnership with the first resource, because those are the names of the people. Some of the names might be the ones that you want to invite, but maybe just put that one to one side and you take this. So if you think now about this autumn, on Friday the 29th of November, have I got that date right? 27th. I'm close. Friday the 27th of November, you've got the comedy evening. 24th, yes. I don't know why I'm getting excited. You're the one that got it right, weren't you? So that's a comedy miss. That's like kind of healthy maybe events. Don't have to have Christian content in per se. They can have as well. But the idea behind the kind of healthy maybe event would be the ethos behind that event. Just come, bring your mates, we'll have a good time, we'll have a laugh, we'll have a giggle. It'll be fun, it'll be a great evening out. And your mates will go away thinking, oh, that was great. They might even think, I didn't expect it to be quite like this. You will hear those types of comments, okay? So that's a healthy maybe type event. And then you've got your just looking, which is what I would position as a little Yes event. It's an event where people are making an intentional decision to find out more. And then maybe going into Christmas, if you've got maybe a carol service that might be more overtly evangelistic, for example, that would be your big yes event. The idea is that we invite the right people to the right event. Now, almost you can invite anybody, whether God speaks to you or not, invite them. Okay, you can invite anybody to a healthy maybe event, but you might want to think a bit more strategically about those that you invite to the just looking or the more in your face. Now, you can get away with it at Christmas, mind, can't you? So in that sense, a carol service, just invite Uncle Tom Cobley and all, do you know what I mean? But just ongoing, if you identify, right, these are the events where there's going to be a more overt gospel preach, then actually to invite somebody along to that who should really be coming along to a healthy maybe needs their perceptions changed. They might just feel they're being battered and Bible bashed. Does that make sense? Part of what we're trying to do is identify our friends, the events, and marry the two. Now, obviously, you can only really fully understand where your friends are at spiritually if you spend time and having a conversation with them. And as you do that, you begin to see where they're at. And then the events will make much, much more sense. So with that in mind, with that as a backdrop, we're going to begin to say to God, God, who is it that I should invite to the events? It might be people on the Praying for Your Friends resource. Okay? It might be that God's been warm in your heart. It might be that you've had some conversations with them because you've been praying for them, that God's just started to work in their life a little bit more. And so it might become obvious who it is, but still say, Lord, who is it that I should invite to this event? And when God gives you a name or gives you some names, maybe just keep praying, Lord, is there anyone else? Anyone else that I haven't thought about? Don't invite them yet. Just keep praying and saying, Lord, when I invite them, I pray they'll say yes to coming along to the event. So I would normally do that for a sort of week. Just chew it over. So just think about where the events lie. This is meant to be a framework, not a straitjacket. You don't have to do it every week. It's entirely up to you how it's going to work best. But I do it kind of for about a week. Lord, who is it? And I just pray over them. Just pray, really focus my prayers on those. So that's ask God who you should invite. And then the next thing is pray for the right opportunity. So I've got two daughters. They've come to discover that asking me something or to do something or whether they can have something at 6 o'clock in the morning is not a good time to be asking me. Okay? That's just about as bad as it gets. Okay, to ask me another time, I'm going to be able to maybe give them an answer that they want or explain. Why? Because it's the right opportunity. It's the right time. A friend of mine said to me a few years ago, I've lost my brew. A friend of mine said to me a couple of years ago, we were doing I think it was a curry event. And he said, oh, I'm going to invite my mate to come along. I said, that's great. So got to the curry night. He said, oh, Mark, I'm really upset. My mate didn't come along. He said, oh, it's the enemy. It's the devil. It's the enemy. I said, all right, okay, why? Did he say why he couldn't come along? He said, well, basically, he couldn't really give me an answer yes or no because his wife had just given birth. And I said, could I suggest that's nothing to do with the enemy? Okay, that might have something to do with setting your priorities right. You know what I mean? He's got to be there. Does that make sense? Now, that's a bit of an extreme. It's a true example, but hopefully it's an extreme example. But sometimes when we invite people, it's just not the right time. And part of it feeds back to what I was saying about the understanding decision part of the journey. Sometimes we ask people to come to things and they say no, and we start doing spiritual warfare when actually it's just not the right time. And sometimes, I don't want to underplay the spiritual, but I think we can actually be a bit wiser about when we're inviting people along. So just bear that in mind. And sometimes having it more naturally, if you're out for a coffee with them or out for a meal with them, in other words, not that, right, I'm going to take them out for a meal, then just before pudding, just before the banoffee pie comes. We're in. And I don't mean like that. I mean like in just meeting with people and being with people. And in the normality of life, actually, conversations happen. And just natural opportunities to invite people occur. So ask God how. How am I going to do this, Lord? Give me the right opportunity. Show me when's the best time. What type of event is good for that person? Where are they at? What's going to help them along? Pray for courage. Again, keep praying for the courage to do it because we can bottle it sometimes. But pray it's natural. And I might want to suggest that the more we make it natural, the less courage we'll need. Does that make sense? The more we make it natural, the less courage we need, because it's just what you do. It's just what you do. And pray they say yes to coming along, but don't invite them just yet. So keep praying over those. Focus on this for the second week. If you want to keep saying God is there somebody else, by all means do so. But I'm suggesting that once you've got that group of people, that group of names, some which may be on your praying for your friends' resource, some of which may not, because the Lord can just suddenly prompt you, and that works. But maybe just focus on this bit, on the actual opportunity. Pray into that, really cover it in prayer. Pardon me. The next bit, the invitation. We want to actually get round to inviting people. So just think about maybe how did God say, what event did God say, and you're still going to pray for courage to invite them, but then you're going to invite them. You're actually going to take a step. And what you'll find, because you've been praying about it, soaking yourself in prayer, and again, this is the sort of thing you can still do with those other two people that you're praying with, just because you're not doing the first part of it doesn't mean you can't meet with them. If you want to, like in your home group, if it's getting to that stage where you all need to be invited, just pray for each other and really encourage each other and cheer each other on and inspire each other. And my mates, I'm not suggesting you do this, but my mates, they're a little bit rampant, and they set a challenge as to who can invite the most people to an event. I love it. It's fantastic. I do say to them, though, let's not make the winning the goal. They're just a bit keen. They're a little bit keen. So the invitation. So you're going to give them some kind of invitation. Here's a little suggestion for you. Let's say it's the first time you've invited somebody. This is what I do. If it's the first time I've invited a couple or any friend to an event, this is what I do. I take one of the generic invitations, and then I buy something like one of those types of general invitation cards. You know, like cards that you can get for 18th birthday parties or something like that. And I put this generic postcard invitation into this invitation, and I just write a personal invitation. Hey Dave, hey Sarah, got this event, you just want to invite you, we're all inviting people along to it, you're personally invited by me, RSVP, something like that. If you're slightly more technically minded, I know of people who've got people along to events that I've spoken at who set up a Facebook event. In fact, there's a guy who became a Christian because he was invited to Reason to Believe when I was doing it in the northeast in Newcastle by his mate, but because he set up a Facebook invitation. So if you communicate a lot through Facebook, it probably is quite a natural thing to do to invite through Facebook. I realise we may be talking more about a youth thing here, but have we got any WhatsApp fans? Some of you going, if I knew what it was, I probably would be a fan. We've got some young, trendy ones here. Okay. But one of the things maybe to encourage the young people in the church to do, you could come alongside them and say, look, you speak to all your friends in WhatsApp groups. They do. Okay. Just because they do. Because I'm young. Yeah, I didn't like that laughter. But just think about ways that you can be creative. Just sometimes sending casual texts out can be a really good thing. And like, even if it's like the night before the event, don't be frightened of just banging out a couple of texts. Okay, want to be trying to be organized, of course. we do. We want to try and be enough in advance. But even then, it's a difficult one to get right, isn't it, sometimes? Like how long to invite somebody. So I reckon a couple of weeks before the event, if you've landed on this bit where you're inviting people, that's about the right type of time to invite people. So think of different ways that you can invite people. And then I would just say pray they don't change their mind. Whether it's a spiritual thing or a human thing, just pray that they won't change their mind. And if they do, chill out. Please, don't beat yourself up over it. Don't be disheartened and discouraged. Okay, clearly, we love Jesus. Okay? We agree on that. But are there not moments where you think, you know, I really don't want to go out to church tonight? I mean, obviously not in this church. I get that. I mean, you know, the Pentecost Derby City Church, they're a totally different ball game. But they're all right. It's like we love Jesus and we just think, oh, I could do with a night in. That's life, is it not? And that can be why some people change their mind last minute. If they're feeling a bit grotty and you think it's just an excuse, it's just an excuse. No, they're not always saying, I don't really want to go, I want to let you down. Sometimes it can just be, oh, do you know, I've not got it in me tonight. So we need to be protecting their days, don't we, in prayer and praying that they won't change their mind, whether through the enemy having a go. Let's not, he does, all right, but let's be aware that sometimes it's just a very normal and natural thing. So try not to be too disheartened and too discouraged. And then, of course, when we've invited them, whether they say yes or not, yes or no, let's be praying they make a commitment because they can still come. Last minute, I've heard that happen, where we said, oh no, I'm not coming, I can't make it. And then a few days after, they go, oh, when was that event? I go, I wouldn't mind coming. Circumstances have changed either way, you know. So let's pray they make a commitment. So pray they say yes to God. And by that, it could be a big yes, a little yes, or a healthy maybe. And all of those are great. Because that's the place that they're at. It's that links in a chain thing again. So pray they say yes to God. Pray they belong. You know, it used to be that we used to teach that people would believe and that they would then belong to the family and then their behaviour would change. Actually, do you know what? Often these days, it's they'll belong. And actually, sometimes behaviours change. I've seen that happen loads in people who aren't Christians. They've belonged to the Christian community through whatever way. And they've ended up, their behaviours changed. In fact, I know of one instance that happened to me recently where I was chatting to a friend of mine who's been to some events, he's kind of belong, and he's not a Christian yet, but I was just sharing something. He said, we should probably pray about that, Matt, shouldn't we? And I'm going, well, we should, but you don't tell me who. No, 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 because I didn't say that. But, you know, it's like, oh, hang on a second. So there's some influence beginning to rub off. Does that make sense? So let's not be too restricted about how things used to happen. Let's pray they belong. It's happened again 2 weeks ago. I was speaking at an event and somebody rang up the event organizer and said, this is not a Christian. The person's not a Christian. They said, oh, is there any space left at your event? It was a curry night. It wasn't the one I did last Sunday. It was another one. I do a lot of them. Is there any space left? A friend of mine is fascinated and wants to come along. So this is a non-Christian talking to their non-Christian friend about the event. And their non-Christian friend goes, well, I wouldn't mind coming on to that. So I'm up for that, aren't you? I don't mind when they start doing evangelism. It's really fantastic. So let's pray that they belong and pray that it'll last. Pray they help others. Make final arrangements. And then bring them. Don't just expect them to rock up. Bring them. And depending on what it is, like with the comedy night, it's in the golf club, isn't it? So is there food there? There's a bar there. Okay. Well, maybe you could say go out for food with them afterwards or before. So think a little bit more along those lines. Whether, you know, should we just have dinner together before we go? Just makes it more of an evening, makes it less of a focus, makes it less of an alien environment for them. So make final arrangements and then bring them. That's really, really important. So This has been designed to size so you can stick that in your wallet, your purse, your credit card holder. It's just the same size as a credit card. So keep that in your wallet. So resource number one is just generally praying for your friends who don't know the Lord. And then resource number two is specifically focusing around the invitation and the culture that we want to try and build and establish when it comes to inviting our friends. And let me just say again, before we draw to the final part of our evening, which is where we're just going to reflect a little bit and also some personal prayers, let's just be aware once again of the journey that people are on, and thinking about the right types of events to bring the people to in the hope that we get it right. If God doesn't reveal anybody for you to bring, just invite everybody. That's not an excuse not to bring. The Lord didn't speak to me. Okay, no, just crack on. Invite every single person. And let's just pray for our confidence, okay? So that's those two resources. Right, let me move on to this bit which will make you just feel a little bit ill. Won't keep it going for too long. You see loads of this sort of thing on YouTube. And it's pretty scary, really. It's people doing weird things at weird heights that really ought not to be. And it's a little bit scary, a little bit vulnerable. Does anybody feel ill? Yeah, I do. Okay, it's just putting yourself out there a little bit. It's a bit risky. But I wonder whether maybe we could put ourselves out there and just take it. Does anybody feel ill now? Honestly, when I've watched this, my stomach's turning. Sometimes it's making ourselves a bit vulnerable, and despite what we've done and talked about, and I'm trying to make you feel more relaxed and inspired, we do still have to take some steps of faith. And we do still have to put ourselves out there, and we can feel a little bit vulnerable. Just to make it a little bit easier for you to take, we'll go for some still shots of similar things. I don't know whether that really makes it easier. But what I want us to do, just for the last 10 minutes, we're going to go through a few visual things up there that are just going to form the basis of us thinking and praying and reflecting. It's going to be, it's what I call a speed prayer concert. Okay, it's just where we're gathering all the things that we've been thinking about tonight and just present them to the Lord as a prayer. So I want you to think about the fear of it. Think about the fear of it. How fearful are you when it comes to sharing your faith, when it comes to inviting a friend along to the event? Do you, my hope and prayer is that God does something in us, but do you still come out in hot sweats, you know, when you think about, ugh? Well, so let's be really honest. How fearful are you? What causes that fear? Is it just that you're distant and disconnected? Is it that you've had bad experiences? Whatever. Tell God about it and then pray with someone. Now, for tonight, because again, we normally do this evening over 2 hours. Tonight, you might just want to pray by yourself. If you want to turn to the person next to you, feel free to absolutely do that. We've got a number of areas to go through. Do you know what? It's not a tick in the box type situation. If you wanted to hang around the first bit, that's absolutely fine. It's quite relaxed. But maybe we could begin to pray into this stuff. And just a quick reminder of a scripture there. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let's just spend a few moments reflecting over those, and then I'll come back up. If anybody wants to pray out loud, please feel absolutely free to do so. There's no rules at all to this, just absolute silence is fine, and loads of rampant noise is also fine. Going to do the next little bit. I've just put aware of God. I want to pray for us that we are aware of God's presence when we're out there making ourselves vulnerable. So just have a think for a few moments, when have you known that God was with you? When have you stepped out and done things that felt a bit risky, but you've really felt God close by? Have a little reflect over that. Maybe begin to just say to God, God, help me to know that you're with me. Help me to be aware of you. And thank him in advance, in anticipation, that he's going to be with you. And then a quick reminder of that great verse that actually is only true and only activated in terms of the verse when we're out there making disciples. It is true that God's with us all the time, but actually the context of this verse that we quote so often is it's when we're making disciples. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So let's just say, Lord, help me to know as I'm seeking to make disciples that you're with me to the very end of the age. Just spend a few very short moments around that, then we're going to move on. Now, just the next little thing for us to focus on. Opportunities. What opportunities can you see around you in your life as a Christian? So the opportunities, the people that you could invite or share your faith with. Just have a think about who is around. I've put there also, what opportunities would you like... who are the people that you'd love to have an opportunity that maybe you can't see the opportunity right now, but bring those before the Lord and then pray for those opportunities to come. We're thinking mainly about our own personal life and evangelism, but I think this is one thing where we could just broaden it out a little bit to think about where the church is geographically. Maybe what would be the opportunities around the church geographically to be able to connect and invite people around, maybe through some of the groups that come in through the doors. So let's just spend a few moments reminding ourselves of this fantastic scripture that reminds us there's never been a problem with the harvest. It's only ever been a problem with the workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Let's just bring that before the Lord, just again for a very few short moments. Now let's just turn our attention to those I know who are the people. Sometimes that can feel the most risky, can't it? Sharing your faith with those that you know well. You can feel the most vulnerable. But wouldn't it be great that we could just feel so relaxed and so at home with those that we know well that it's not as much of a risk? So thinking about that then, who do you know well? Obviously it's friends and family. Might be some of the people that you put or would put in those white spaces / on your post-it notes. Who do you know well? Who can you start to get to know better? And pray for authenticity in doing so. So let's spend a few moments reminding ourselves of this wonderful little verse. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Come and see. Come and see." And again, just a quick reminder of the lady, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." To those she knew, her community, that initial Jerusalem, before the Judea and the Samaria. So just think now about those who you know, who you'd like to get to know better, and who you could start to get to know better. So we'll just again have a few short moments reflecting around that and offer some prayers. Just might be by way of simple names, just mentioning simple names before the Lord. And then finally, this is probably one of the scariest pictures out of all these photographs. I would not stand on that boulder, would you? I just wouldn't do it. I really, really wouldn't. Standing in the gap, that in itself can be quite a risky thing. But I wonder whether just as we draw this evening, we've been praying about our friends, about opportunities, about ourselves. And in a sense, this kind of draws together all the five evenings that we've been doing. I wonder whether you might this evening be willing to offer yourself to God afresh. Don't worry about the past failures. And then this is what I always say. Sometimes people say, I'm not really willing. Because it's like, it could be a bit risky. But I wonder whether we might just kind of drop the level of response down a bit. And whether you'd be prepared to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not willing because I'm scared and that's overwhelming me at the moment. But would you be willing for God to make you willing? Would you be willing for God just to work in you and say, Lord, actually, I really want to be able to invite my friends. And so just make me willing. And that old classic verse, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. He said, go and tell this people. I wonder whether you might be prepared. I'm going to pray in a second that you will go for it. That you will look over the edge and say, I'm going to really, really go for it. And be encouraged with the, surely I am with you always. As God spoke to Moses when they were having that conversation about what he was going to say. God said, I will help you speak well. And a reminder, the harvest is plentiful. It's my firm belief that God's out at work in the lives of people. And evangelism is just about finding where that's happening and getting involved. And I wonder whether you might just go for it. Can I invite you to stand? I'm going to pray and then I'm just going to hand over for the evening to be finished. You can do whatever way you want to respond. That's absolutely fine. But let me just simply pray over us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and through and by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd use us. Here am I. Send me. And Lord, for every one of us, may we get that place, if we're not already there, may we get that place where we say, here am I, Lord, send me. And Lord, I pray that in amongst this group of people, I thank you that they've come out for these nights, Lord. That's shown some intentionality. And I pray, Lord, that that'll begin to really step out into the world around us. And I pray, Lord, that through this activity, that other people in the fellowship here will be caught up into it, Lord. And that, Lord, as a result of these few nights, we'll begin to see your Holy Spirit take us and use us in ways that maybe we never even dreamed possible. So we humble ourselves before you, make ourselves available. Lord, I bless you for these fantastic people, and I look forward to hearing what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been fantastic. Please be seated. It's been great to be here with you. Thank you so much. God bless. Thank you.